Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast, as we are here with the penultimate episode of The Challenge USA Season 2. One more episode until we find out our new champions of this spinoff series. Very excited to get into this latest episode. Two people left the game right before the final. Always brutal to see that happen, and a lot to break down. So, of course, I am one of your hosts, Matt Liguori, alongside my co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, what's up?
Hello. I'm so glad to be back after Reddit has called me a flop. And, you know, it really means a lot to make it past all the way through the end of this season on the podcast.
Who called you a flop?
There's been many, first of all.
Wow. Yeah. I don't believe it. what else did she say? She said she described her game as, it was kind of mid. It's very giving. It's giving Gen Z, right?
Gen Z.
Yeah. I don't know how old Chanel is, but definitely. Gen Z.
I think she's our age.
Our age?
I think so.
Well, you're like eternally.
Okay, first
18,
of all, be careful. So
I went with the right direction, and you thought I was not going to.
Anyway. Chanel's 31.
Oh, that's older than me.
And me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Challenge USA penultimate episode in the books, and again, we've lost two people here right before the final. People talk a lot about how, you know, it's probably better for your like psyche to go out first than go out right before the final. Like, do you feel that would be the case for you?
I don't think first. I think first I would start feeling pretty mid, like a flop. So that would be pretty tough for me. But I can definitely see how going out a couple of eliminations before the final is definitely way better than right before. So I understand it, especially for people who have experienced this before. I think if it's your first season or like second season or you're still improving, it's probably going to be a lot easier to like take it for what it is. And wow, I had this great experience. And I didn't have any expectations coming in and look how well I did versus like, wow, I have been here before and this is tough. Like, I am reliving the problems that I have faced in the past, and that has to be tough.
Well, prime example here, one Josh Martinez. This is now, I could double check, I'm going to go with fifth season of the challenge, maybe sixth. And every single season he's been on, for the most part, he's gone out right around here. I mean, there was, of course, the first season that he was essentially the first boot, came back because of somebody else getting injured while he was still like on set. But otherwise, this is the spot that Josh goes out. And it's just like every season you're like, well, surely he's going to like, you know, find a way around that and you know, pass the spot that we expect him to go out. But then it's like right on cue, this is where he goes.
Mm-hmm. It's tough. You know, that's the thing with having like a phenomenal social game on the challenge is, and like also, I mean, at least a tiny part of it is due to people not really seeing Josh as the biggest threat, I think, is why he ends up going out a lot here right at the end, you know, in other formats. I think that it's going to be tough to escape this last hurdle. And so that's why we see Josh fall at it so often.
Fall and stumble and cry. Aww. All of the above altogether. When we someday do, you know, our player breakdowns of every challenge player ever, that's what we said we're gonna do, right? When we get to Josh's, we'll be there for a while breaking down his game and how he ends up in this spot every time, and you know, how his social game is so good with all these different people that it puts him in a predicament like this. But you know, he wants to make the final. He's not making the final. It's not happening. I thought I saw something about him taking a break. I don't think that he's actually taking a break. I don't know where he said that or who thought he might have said that, but I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
He's not going to take a break, right?
I honestly did not click the headline, but I did see it where it was like Josh thinks he needs to step away from the challenge for some time. If he feels the need, supported in that. I mean, he's not going to be on 39, and who knows when season 40 is filming, so maybe that's enough of a break for him. But or maybe he like knows season 40 is like Challenge Legends and he's like not expecting to get that call just yet, you know, maybe in the future. But I think Josh is gonna be back on our screens very soon in one way or another.
His Instagram post that he put up 18 hours ago, we're recording this on Monday, a little late this week, but he said, 6 years in the reality TV game and what a journey it's been. I didn't get the turnout I wanted this season. I feel like one of the luckiest people getting the chance to compete on one of the best competition shows. Losing was hard, but I'm happy I get to see one of my best friends advance. Can't thank the challenge team enough for taking a chance on him. Thanking the production team for always being good to him, and he loves the experience filming, blah, blah, blah. Walking away from this season was tough, especially getting it so close to the end. I lost myself in the process of chasing a final. For that, I'm extremely disappointed, but can only learn from my mistakes and move forward. To be honest, it's hard to come back to the game and deal with all the hate and public scrutiny I deal with every season, but in that, I've gained so much strength using it as a fuel to work on me and continue to grow. So thank you. So basically just saying, he says at the end, keeping my head down, putting in the work, trusting the process and God's plan for my life. To the ones that support me, I love you. Till the next run.
Yeah, it sucks that Josh still gets so much hate, because I don't find him to be unbearable on the challenge in the way that I used to find, for sure, at least. I think that there were, you know, maybe like one episode where I think he played very well, but it was like a kind of a tough watch if you were rooting for other people sometimes. So I guess I understand it, but but I don't know. Like, stop sending people hate. This is ridiculous.
Well, while we're just on Josh, let's get like right into the, you know, the main meat of this episode, because a lot of the hate on Josh for this week came from the fact that it's like, okay, this man is here talking about, I want to make it to the final. I want to get the money for my family. I want, you know, my family is the most important thing to me. And I don't mean to bring his family more into it and, you know, but just to be like, you know, he's here for a reason. He wants to give back. He wants to get there. He wants to do it. All of these things are so important to him. But then you also get the, you know, game Josh, who just as important to him seems to be keeping all of these people happy that he's formed such genuine friendships with. The way that we know this episode is going to break down is that, you know, Chris wins the daily challenge. He's out of the mix. So you come down to two of the following people are going to be in the elimination: Corey, Fessy, Bananas, and Josh. Fessy is the name that gets thrown in. So now Josh has two options, three, if they allow him to vote for himself, which honestly seemed like he was considering it. It's Corey, it's Bananas. I guess jump right in on what you thought of how he had to go about this decision and what he ended up doing.
I mean, this is the problem that having such a good social game is going to result in very often. And I think the cards fell where they may, that, you know, ultimately Chris wins the challenge and Josh is forced into making a decision that he really does not want to make, one that he basically already made with Wes earlier this season and, you know, had a very tough time with. So I understand and I am sympathetic in that he felt so conflicted, but at the same time, like, going to Bananas and swearing on family members and, you know, saying you'll vote for yourself and you would never vote for him before you've, you know, really thought that out, I think is a major, like, overplay. It's a problem. Yeah, I think that was, you know, a big mistake for Josh.
Yeah, I mean, he's nothing if not, you know, extremely passionate. And in that moment, he just, like, And I've gotten myself into trouble with this kind of thing, too, of just like letting my passion carry away the words that are coming out of my mouth before I realize what I'm saying. So, you know, I'm just like, Josh and I are very similar. A lot of emotions, a lot of more than I'd like to admit. But just getting carried away with like wanting to please the people around you and promise them like all these things. And then like the more you think about it, you're like, you know, as we see here, he's second guessing himself and he's, you know, ultimately going to go back on a very, you know, specific important promise that he made to Bananas where he swore on family members' lives. Like you would think that, you know, by like your sixth, seventh time on a show that maybe you would, avoid doing that kind of thing because you never know what could happen. And that probably didn't feel great for him to be doing so. I don't know, unless he has different ways of looking at that kind of thing, but
like volunteered out of nowhere,
right?
like I don't know, I'm not volunteering that generally.
No, like and again, it just felt like it's because he was so passionate towards like wanting to make sure Bananas knew how comfortable he was with him, and he was like at that moment I have no reason to not believe that that is what he said, what he meant, and how he was planning to vote, that he was going to vote for Corey. And then things changed. He talked to Fessy. He really started to understand, and Fessy's his number one. You know, Bananas, super close, helped him through a lot, as he says. But Fessy is ultimately, for years now, been his number one guy. And Fessy says to him, I don't want I don't want Corey in elimination. I want Bananas. And the only way that you will – be able to help make me happy. And our friendship that is so based on what your challenge moves are, so ridiculous, is if you, you know, vote for Bananas. And that, you know, overpowered anything he was feeling towards Bananas earlier. He made his promises and he had to go back on it, or he felt he did.
Yeah. I mean, I have no doubt that Josh felt like he was saying what he actually meant in that moment. The problem is, I just feel like if, like, the game that Josh plays is so predicated on his words, like meaning something. And so, you know, Bananas, it took a break. He's getting a little older, but he's not going anywhere. Bananas is going to be here for quite some time. But I don't know how much sway Bananas will ultimately have with their mutual allies, because I feel like most of Bananas' allies are also Josh's allies. So, you know, is Tori going to hold this against him next season? Is Nani going to hold this against Josh next season? Like, I'm not so sure. I think that people will probably forget this and move on. But... you know, it's gonna be tough. I think that Bananas will definitely cash this in if he needs to vote Josh or screw him over for whatever reason moving forward.
And again, I say, like, I keep bringing up that, like, this is not even in the MTV lineup of challenges. So, like, if somebody is binging someday and happens to miss this season, the Ooh. Effects of this are going to be felt on the challenge 40, 41, 42, whatever, you know, whatever is the next season that these guys are on together. I don't care if they make up between now and then, whatever, because if something happens, of course, you know, they're happy to use flashbacks from whatever network. They're all blended together at this point. So they'll show us, you know, a clip of this if Bananas and Josh are together on a season again. And something happens, but you know, the Vacation Alliance, which we're kind of extending it at this point because Bananas was never in that alliance. Like, that was like the Devon group, and then Bananas came back and just kind of linked up with them. So I guess mm-hmm. he's, you know, vacation adjacent at this point. But that whole group of people that are all really close, and they remind us in this episode how close they are and how they've gotten through this game together. Like, this episode is pretty important because they really all were, you know, pointing their guns at each other, trying to figure out, you know, who's voting where, and Tori just so, like, blatantly being like, Josh, yeah, I voted for you. Like, don't worry about you voting for Bananas because I voted for you, because they had to. You know, they did get to the point in the season where you kind of have to turn on each other, but there was obviously still real emotions involved and real, you know, results that come out of this where, again, Bananas is probably going to hold on to this for a while. It doesn't sound like, at least I can't tell, because Josh is, like, in the exit interview still kind of beating himself up about this, being like, I wish I didn't do that vote for Bananas. So something tells me that maybe their, like, relationship has not been the same. But also, they were, like, together a couple weeks ago doing a podcast. I don't know. You can never say for sure. But as far as, like, the game repercussions, you can see Bananas using this as leverage in the future for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I think he'll make him feel guilty. I don't think that Bananas is, like, swimming in allies the way he used to be, especially with how many new people they are bringing on. You know, I don't think he's trusting Michelle and Jay the next time that they show up necessarily. Yeah. Maybe Michelle after this season, but who knows? So I think that Josh will probably end up being just fine. But like we said, he's going to leverage it. It's definitely going to be a thing. I think Josh is just someone who, even if he voted for Corey, would, like, be beating himself up that way. So I think that, you know, Josh has feelings and that's fine. But, like, I don't know. I didn't really see the, like, best move. I know a lot of people do feel like voting Bananas was a bad move for Josh. Do you agree with that?
Voting Bananas was a bad move. There was no good move. I mean, I guess in the, like, there's so many different perspectives to look at it from. Like, the perspective of, this is one of your close friends that you do a lot of challenges with. Bananas going to be there. Bananas is going to be there more than Corey's going to be there. Corey takes breaks. Corey is given breaks, you know, whatever the case is. And look at the more successful player, the 7-time champion, the 0-time champion, you know? So, like, you're trying to keep one of them happy. I'm probably, like, if that's your sole goal, like, regardless of getting to a final with Johnny Bananas being a whole different story in itself, your sole goal is keeping one of these two guys happy. I'm going to keep Bananas happy over Corey. You're going
now,
into a final.
Go ahead. When you factor in keeping Fessel happy.
Fessy's gonna forgive Josh no matter what. I mean, they are bonded in a way that Bananas and Josh may think they are, but could never be, because they're both, you know, from Big Brother, the exact, you know, a year apart. They came into the challenge around the exact same time. Josh a little bit sooner, but Fessy not close behind. And with Casey, like that, I think their bond is so much stronger. And I don't think that this decision would have been make or break by any means.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that they do fight all the time.
Like,
Josh
brothers.
And Fessel, Yeah, like it, over and over. So I think that ultimately this would have been another fight between the two of them that would have just like gotten smoothed over. I think you were about to talk about finals ability, and I do agree that for me, I feel like Bananas is definitely going to be more competitive in a final. And if Josh is seeing this as like his one chance to win, which I think is probably going to still be pretty tough against Fessel, Chris, and Corey, I can understand wanting to remove one competitor from that. If you are just like going all in on this season, it still seems tough.
If I'm Josh, I know I'm, you know, ranked 5 out of 5 going into that final anyway. So, I mean, or maybe I don't know because he, I mean, he's putting in the effort. He's putting in the time. He's trying to, you know, get up to his best shape he's ever been in. And just from the looks of it, he seems like he is in that best shape. So maybe he's not, you know, from the outside perspective where I feel like I'm sitting that I'm like, oh no, I still think he's, you know, fifth most likely to win if the final started in this episode. But I don't know.
I think I would bet on Josh over Corey in a final. I feel like just there's a couple things that come into play where Josh could be better. I mean, I think that Josh is a much, 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 much stronger puzzler. And just even that is enough to give him the edge. I feel that Josh has been really working on endurance for a number of years and has that down pat. So I don't know what he's going to run into that he, you know, is a little like goofy, a little, you know, the hand-eye coordination's not always there. But I think I might take Josh over Corey at this point.
I guess, I mean, I wouldn't, I certainly don't think I could put up like a strong argument to say why that is not the case. I think it's definitely a toss up. And, you know, if you had said that to me years ago, I would have been like, that's insane. But the more that we see from Corey and his inability to like, you know, close things out, I mean, spoiler alert, but going into the final here, he's my 4 out of 4 pick of, you know, who I think is going to win. It's just because we haven't yet seen his capabilities to take it all home. And he's had many opportunities. So it's really not too far off from Josh's story, besides the fact that Corey has made, you know, a handful of finals. Josh is still trying to get into his first. So,
well, yeah, that's the thing, is I think that we've seen like the story written almost in terms of Corey and finals, and we haven't seen that from Josh. So like, I am willing to take the unknown over the like probably not going to do well.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And their abilities to like stay calm under pressure, both being bad for different reasons. I feel like Corey just kind of can lose his cool sometimes. And Josh is going to keep his cool for the most part. But then also, you know, if something goes terribly wrong, lose it. So I don't know.
And, I mean, hey, Fessel says in his Instagram caption where he's talking about how proud he is of Josh, he thinks if Josh was in that final, he would have won. He says definitively.
Well, he's also speaking from somebody who's been in the final, so I guess we'll have to reassess next week and say, all right, well, this is the person who won. Could Josh have beaten them, given what they went through?
Yeah, I think he's also speaking as a, let me be nice to my friend who just went out.
Also possible.
That is more of how I'm reading that than any, like, this final was built for Josh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough. So, I don't know. Anything else on the Josh decision of it all? It's, of course, I mean, just to get, I guess, to the end of the episode, it is poetic justice for Bananas to see, you know, I got so betrayed by this man. And then Bananas getting saved when by the Hopper when he had five balls to Josh's two. Josh still gets picked. And then Josh goes home. Like, what a crushing blow to this man who, you know, wasn't even trying to, like, make a move on Bananas. He wasn't trying to, like, pull one over on his friend like he did on Wes. He just, you know. The foreshadowing comes back, by the way, as you mentioned. He does do that to Josh, and I didn't even think about that until this very moment. And then Josh goes, and there it is.
Yeah, it felt inevitable that this was going to come. I actually want to applaud Tori. I don't think it was necessarily intentional, but the, like you said, she tells Josh, like, Josh, and I had to vote for you. A quick little like slide in where like, you're so distracted by being so distraught by you voting for Bananas. Like, also I voted for you. Like, just don't worry about that. Look, we all messed up. Like, I forgive you for messing up. So you forgive me too. Right. So I think that would, very well handled if it was intentional. But Bananas then coming in and being like very smug about it. I don't know. I think he like kind of has the right, you know, I think it's probably the right way to handle it in order to encourage it to not happen again in the future. Like, you know, I'm not going to take this well, Josh, so don't do it again. But I am kind of also, you know, like he'll get over it.
Yeah, Bananas was livid at the idea that like all of these people were putting him or Josh at like Tori, why are you voting for Josh? What are you you're voting for me? Like, just totally baffled at the idea that Corey was escaping from all of this, which I mean gives credit to Corey and further into the fact that Corey's not winning this season because he's like fourth in abilities, but like has had zero storyline. You know, we've heard from his kids or about his kids one time over the course of 13 episodes. Man's not winning, but the fact that, like, you know, he seems to have such a good social game with some key players right here. And I'm like, I know he's friends with Tori and I know he's friends with Josh, but the fact that, like, it's enough to completely save him, I'm like, I haven't heard anything about how this is working for him, but I just know that it is.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's fair. I do agree. I think that Corey has been very under-edited. I feel like he has to be playing a very good social game to escape, like, all season the target that the vets really had on their back. He was never really mentioned in that same grouping. People wanted to protect him that were still targeting the other vets actively. So I think Corey probably played a really good social game this season that we just didn't get to see.
Yeah. Good for him, I guess. So yeah, we talked through, all of Bananas' anger and all of that, and even like on Josh's way out eventually, when Josh is going to be eliminated, it like giving us quotes in the confessional being like, don't take care, hope to see you never. I'm like, this man is pissed.
He's making good TV. I think he'll be over it.
I mean, maybe it's just that, but also, like, you know, this is the man who took all the money and ran. This is the man who, all's fair in love, war, and challenges, or whatever the quote is, if that's not it. Like, this is the man who, you know, has always been, you know, the big proponent of it's just a game, but then when someone does it to him, it's not just a game.
Well, that is so many of them. Like, it is fine for me but to do, it's not fine for Bananas. You to do. Oh yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing at all. I think that he is the worst perpetrator of it. I feel like we've seen this a million times. You know, he is allowed to do it and you are not,
right? So but because he is Johnny Bananas and he's going to be on every season, you have to continue to just, you know, bow down to him and suck up to him. And, you know, sometimes they get him out nice and early and you don't have to worry about that for the entire season. That happened on Global. I don't know if that was, I don't remember if that was like intentional of them getting him out super early, but like it just happened and, you know, you get to play the game without that factor. So, they got Wes out, you know, a couple weeks back. So that took a big piece of, a strategic player off the board or somebody that will do everything they can to manipulate you, knowing how you work. Going into that manipulation, like one last thought about all of this is just that Josh being the emotional person that he is, it really did and does feel like somebody like Bananas is going to use that against him in a way to be, and Fessy too. And Fessy's like laying in bed being like, whatever, man. Like, if you're just going to vote the way you're going to vote, then like, whatever, dude. It's like, cause they know that if they make Josh feel like a piece of shit, then that's the easiest way to get him on their side.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think for Fessel, like, what's he going to say? Kind of at that point, like he said, like, you screw me or you don't. Like, that's all I got to say. Like, I told you exactly what I want. You're not going to get me to give in, like, and be like, oh, okay, actually, you're allowed to vote in Corey and you can feel good about that, Josh. Like, no, I told you what I want. I don't feel like there's any further need to discuss that. So, you know, as much as that can be put as him guilting Josh in, I more think it's him not letting Josh guilt him.
Right. All right. That's all I have there.
Yeah.
Where do we go next?
Really, only got to talk about the challenges at this point. That was the majority of the episode.
Yeah. I mean, there's some stuff to talk about on the women's side. Some Michaela stuff, some Desi stuff. Not Desi, Cassidy. I guess we can talk about the challenge and kind of knock that out real quick. It was called Burst Your Bubble. The hot air balloons that were featured as soon as they got there having like nothing to do with it. It was just like, this is the mechanic that they're using to get them high in the air.
Yeah. They felt so unnecessary. I feel like we could have just built, a little structure, called it a day. I don't know that beam would have been any more or less stable than the hot air balloons like anchored into the ground in every direction. So I was kind of underwhelmed. I mean, it was like a fine challenge to watch, but
And the fact that nobody fell, like, come on.
Yeah. To quote Chanel, it was a little mid.
It was pretty mid, yeah. challenge was a bit of a flop. But, they had to climb 40 feet in the air to get to the ledge, I guess, at the end of both of these hot air balloons and run from one side to the other on a balance beam. So, you know, of course, like, you're not going to get Suri Fields up there, but like anybody else that's like basically able to do, it wasn't that long of a beam. Every single person got it done. So, you know, there's that. And then the top two times on both sides were Michaela and Tori for the women, Chris and Fessel for the guys. The guys was a very much smaller difference. It was 3 seconds that allowed Chris to get the win there, which he much needed. And we'll talk about him as we maybe get closer to previewing the final. And then Michaela and Tori, a 14-second difference, where I was surprised, I don't know about you, to see that Michaela had the win, because it looked like she paused for so long up there to like blow her nose or something.
Like, I was kind of wondering if like time paused while you were getting in and out of the hot air balloon. You know what, that's what I kind of thought might have been the thing. I thought like, okay, the time that you're climbing the ladder and then the time that you're on the balance beam, those two things are like, you know, cumulatively your time. I think I would bet on that being the case.
Yeah, I mean, they can't, you know, penalize somebody if like the person up there putting them into the, you know, locking system is taking longer for Michaela versus for Tori. So that had to be the case, I guess. But I wasn't thinking about that while I was watching. So I was like, how is Michaela winning this? She's like blowing her nose. Like, I also thought she might have had like a bloody nose. So I was like worried for her. Ooh. But yet again, Michaela conquering her fear.
Look at Michaela. How many individual wins is this for her?
I think two, and they're both height. Oh, wait, no. Did she win?
No. She won wrestling also. So I think this is three in a row, question mark?
I don't know about in a row.
I think it might be. I think it was Tori won the first two, Michaela won the next three.
Desi won one with Chris? Desi won with Chris in the temple.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one. Fair. Okay. So, yeah, there was one more interspliced into there that I forgot about. But yeah. Three is solid. I mean, that's half the individual challenges.
Yeah. It was impressive, and you know, Michaela telling us about how, you know, happy she is she's making, because the part we didn't mention yet, but if you won this challenge, you go straight to the final. So Chris on his way to the final, and Michaela on her way to the final, where she's feeling very excited about that because she was the first boot in her first season, and you know, is now on her way to a final in her second season. So a very you know, strong, solid redemption arc for her, however this ends up.
Mm-hmm. Much more representative of how I think Michaela on the challenge is normally going to go for her. Yeah. You know, occasionally there's like a social hiccup that might catch her in Survivor or the challenge, but I think she's learned a lot. I think that the physicality is something that she has over tons of other people in this house, so, or just like in the general challenge casting pool, more so than this house, I would actually say. But yeah, Michaela making a final feels right.
Well, so kind of keeping it on Michaela, as we get to the nominations, we're going to see it's Michaela and Chris, you know, have to go put two names in, which are automatically putting two people into elimination. Do you think Michaela made a mistake by keeping her word with Tori rather than putting Tori right in and trying to get rid of her before this final?
It seems tough. I feel like a lot of people, like, you know, most of the guys are probably then going to vote for Cassidy anyway, because they're all aligned with Tori in Josh, Fessel, Corey, and Bananas. I think all four of them vote for Cassidy. So
and what?
And like, so and it just ends up being Tori versus Cassidy anyway.
Like, and then what?
And then Cassidy goes home.
And then what? She tried.
Yeah.
Tori has a 0% chance. I mean, this is, you know, not a new argument or not a new thought process, but like, Tori has a 0% chance of going home if she's not in elimination. She has a 50% chance of going home if she is in elimination, and otherwise you are bringing her to a final with you. This isn't, to me, the same deal as it is for like the Banana side of things. Like, I get he's a 7-time champ, but I still can never discount the fact that he, you know, is getting older each final he runs. And somebody like Tori, who is coming off of the momentum of having just won a season a couple of months prior.
Yeah, it's tough. I think that even the best case scenario in there is that one of like your best friends in the house ends up going against Tori, and that's going to be, you know, not an easy elimination necessarily. So I think that I understand it like slightly more here. I do think for Michaela, it ultimately comes down to, does she want to do a bunch more challenges or does she not? Because if she does, I think this is probably the right move. If she doesn't and she's going to show up very sporadically, screw Tori, send her in.
Call me crazy, but I don't think she cares about that. Like, she doesn't strike me as somebody who's like working the social game for future seasons. She's just doing it for right here, right now. Am I wrong?
I completely agree with that. I'm saying in terms of what I think is the correct move, not in terms of what Michaela wants to do.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it was the right call. I could probably be, or definitely could be convinced. I can be convinced of almost anything. But I do think I would have wanted to see her try to get Tori out at a point like this, because I think Michaela is a top two contender for the win here. And I think that if she got Tori out successfully, I think she becomes, she's still a top two contender, but I think she becomes number one, where right now I might think it's Tori. So that's just my thought there. And then the guys vote ends up being not a whole lot of discussion, I guess. It's just Chris ends up picking, it seems like, Fessy, because he nominated him twice and it didn't seem like they were like strongly picking either way. It was just, okay, Fessy.
Yeah, and that's where we go back last week where he nominated Josh, and I feel like that was just to like rattle him a little bit, knowing that the guy was never ending up going in to that elimination. You know, this was the true pick. He wants Fessel out right before the final. That would definitely be ideal for him. So, you know, good job taking the shot.
And when he says, he's like, well, by putting Fessy in, like, it's putting the rest of the guys in a position where they have to pick, you know, somebody else. And I'm like, well, that would have happened literally with any of them. Like, anybody almost... that was thrown in as the main vote, like, a tough decision has to be made? No? Unless Josh was the main vote. In...
Yeah, I agree with that. But, I mean, if Chris votes in bananas, how do the votes fall otherwise? Because, you know, Corey, Fessel, and Josh are all, like, pretty close, have similar allies. I would be very interested to see how that goes.
I think Fessy and Josh put their votes on Corey.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I'm wondering more about everyone else, because it does seem like Corey has a pretty good social game, like we said. Does that mean people that were formerly on the blue team don't necessarily vote for him, you know, in the past? Do people, I don't know, I'm very curious where those votes fall.
Yeah. Do we want to get to the votes?
Sure.
That the secret votes, not so secret votes. I took a note here, which I haven't brought up yet, is that the steps going up to that room with the votes, those triangular steps, wild.
I actually think that they are like space savers. I think that it's like a well-designed staircase that's like been proven good, but you have to walk up in a specific way. You can't just hit it with whatever foot you want.
No, I certainly don't dislike it. Like I love like fun design things like that in any home, even if it's like supposed to be, you know, more intelligent than it is designy, but like, still wild to think about. Especially, I mean, there's like a lot of drunk people in that house. I don't know. Just seems dangerous.
I don't think they built the house. And then they were like, all right, Airbnb, what looks good? All right, this one.
I think they did build this house for
yeah,
drunken challengers.
And then they sold it.
I think you're wrong about that one. Can't convince me. So
They put secret bunk beds on every season that all these drunk people have to climb into. So.
That's true, too. So the votes come in, and just to get to like the vote totals, it's going to end up being 2 on Tori, 1 on Desi, 5 on Chanel. Now, can we find, is it on here, the breakdowns of who voted who? It's like the Wikipedia chart is like flying off the page, so it's hard to do so.
I didn't look even.
Okay, so the two votes on Tori were Chanel and Desi.
That's what I imagined.
The one vote on Desi seems to have been bananas, if this is all true on Wikipedia, which, why is bananas voting Desi over Chanel?
I mean, he just walked in there and was like, bye, Desi, bye. Like, you know, he was voting. Bye, Corey. Does not care.
And Chanel voted for bananas, so it's not even like they had a deal, but okay. No. And then everybody else voted for Chanel, so that 5 other votes. So Corey, Tori, Josh, Fessy, like all of them voted for Chanel. On the guy side, the one vote for Corey came from bananas, duh. The two votes for Josh came from Cassidy and Tori. Okay. Cassidy and Josh have not been friends, I don't think.
I mean, nope. Corey started on blue along with Cassidy, right?
Oh God, I forgot they were on teams.
Yeah. I mean, I brought it up already. And didn't Tori as well? So, and Tori made that deal. So I don't know if maybe Cassidy and Corey have that, you know, social game going. And not that I think it probably saved Cassidy from Corey's vote, but, you know.
And then 5 votes on bananas coming from, again, the same crew. So you have Chanel, you have Corey, you have Desi, you have Fessel, and Josh with the votes on Bananas. That didn't even matter because the votes that ended up getting polled were Chanel and Josh. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. Yeah, I don't think there was any super surprising votes going on here, you know, outside of Josh's hysterics about voting for Bananas. But interesting to watch Bananas get saved by a, you know, not, from a majority of the votes in the hopper.
Some might say shocking that Bananas is not the one pulled here.
I don't know. A 5-3 vote, I don't think is like, you know, lopsided enough.
No. But some might say it.
Some might.
So what are your thoughts as we move into the elimination on this take of a classic challenge hall brawl?
Okay. I think I am positive on – they made a couple changes.
Yes.
That we have not seen in normal hall brawls. I am positive on the pads that they use to run into each other. Yep. I am negative on the puzzle.
Yep. I would love to disagree with you and have a fun little disagreement to end the podcast here, but I can't. The shield certainly, you know, you're going to get people like, I don't know, like Derek Kaczynski that are like, duh, why are they doing that? Like back in our day, we used to just hit each other. And it's like, okay, no one cares because.
Yeah. Back in your day, you all had concussions.
Right. Exactly. Like let's prioritize safety. And like these people are entertaining us. Let's not actually hurt them, please. In ways that could impact, you know, their whatever going forward. Like, I don't know. We can have the whole football discussion someday as well, but maybe not today. Safety first. I am not going to take any issue with that, but the puzzle, why?
Yeah, and even with the pads, if it's a little bit of an equalizer in terms of like Josh is not quite as big as Fessy and he runs into him and is able to hold his ground a little better, like, good. So many hall brawls are mismatched all the time. I would love to see, I don't remember who, was it Fessel versus Kyle also, where or was it, I don't remember if it was Nelson, who, that, like, broke Kyle's finger. You know, if we can avoid that stuff happening and have, like, a little bit better of a match, like, I'm all on board. I don't know why people would not want closer matches in Hall Brawl, but these puzzles. Like, I'm all for a puzzle elimination, but not, I don't, you know, I'm getting a little tired of Hall Brawl. This is not the mix-up that I necessarily need to change it, especially a puzzle that can just be guessed over and over. I think that is, like, you know.
It was so silly. It was so silly. Like, just imagine the soundtrack in a way, like, imagine somebody editing this in a way that was like, not how MTV, you know, they show these eliminations as if they're such big battles. So you have the close-up shot of Josh and the close-up shot of Fessy, and then you get to the elimination, and it's the hall brawl, and you hear the dramatic music playing as they clash into each other, and who's going to come out victorious? And then you get to, like, the end, and they both come out of the hall, having done a very minor brawl, and you get, like, you know, tinkery little, like, you know, nursery music in the background of them, like, you know, doing a puzzle or looking at a puzzle and trying to figure out how many squares are in it. And then, you know, run over to TJ, run back, run TJ, go back. I'm like, this is the silliest thing. The silly little goose who came up with this idea needs to not do it again. it was not good.
Yeah, and I enjoy these types of puzzles. Like, I paused to solve them myself. I was like, ooh, let me get these. But I don't know, especially when the answer is so low. You know, Chanel referenced the one that she had to participate in on Survivor. That one was infinitely more difficult than this. So I think that if it was that hard, it would have just been a puzzle elimination. The hall brawl part would not have mattered at all. Yeah. But if it's this easy that Fessy doesn't even have to look at it and just can go guess a couple answers and win, then, like, why did we have it anyway? So, I am not in favor of this puzzle.
Yeah, no, that's, I don't have much else to say besides it was just not great, not ideal. It wasn't like the worst thing I've ever seen, but just not, you know, ending with a bang right before going to a final. It was just a little meh. So I have nothing else on the elimination itself, but I do want to talk a little about Cassidy.
Ooh, let's talk about Cassidy.
I'm sad for her, of course. I love Cassidy. And she put up three great fights in eliminations up until this point. And this one, if it was just an all-out hall brawl, I could see a world where she beat Chanel for sure.
Ooh. I mean, I don't think that we saw that as evidence on TV just yet. Maybe if it went three rounds, there would have been an option.
Did she? I don't totally remember. Did Chanel like run over her in the first in their?
I don't think she ran over her. I think that Chanel had pushed her back a little bit from what I remember seeing.
You know, I mean, Chanel probably is stronger, but like Cassidy's just so scrappy that I could see a world where she gets it done.
And I also think that people's strategies are probably going to differ a little bit when it's like, you know, it comes down to a puzzle versus when it's like, I need to push you to the end of this or I am going home. Like, those are the two things. I think that they're probably going to differ a little bit. They don't want to get hung up on something and just like waste time. So I don't think that this was a true representation of how either of them necessarily would have done in a hall brawl. But yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm sad for Cassidy. I mean, she showed up and showed out as strongly as she could all season. The numbers were kind of against her. You know, maybe you can say that, I don't know, Social Game could have used a little bit more something. I don't know, because she was on the outs of this Survivor group. Obviously, Chanel, Desi, and Michaela being a very strong group to kind of get into. She was working with them for the majority of the game, and that's, you know, what got them as far as they did. So, you know, we're talking about a difference of being out in episode 13 versus, you know, other people that were out, you know, 2 months ago. So she, you know, lasted long enough. I want to say that she had some social connections within there. Nobody was ever like, besides Wes being like, we got to get this girl out of here. She's the worst. You know, she's plotting against us, whatever the case is. She wasn't, you know, really, she didn't win any daily challenges, right? So nobody was worried about her in that aspect. But yeah, I don't know. Sad.
Yeah. I don't know. I think she outperformed my expectations. I will admit, when she went before like Michelle and John A and like even like Chris, who's still in the game, in the must win portion of the draft, I was a little surprised. I didn't have her necessarily that high on my draft board. So I was glad to see that she outperformed my expectations. I do think that she would be a very fun addition on future, you know, seasons of the challenge. I have heard rumors that she was asked for 39 and turned it down. I don't know if that's true, but I don't know. She was a little messy. She got in drama. She got drunk a couple times. She hooked up with Michelle. So, you know, bring in what we want.
Absolutely would love to see her back. That would have been the case, whether she was first out or, you know, going out here. So, going out where she did and showing, you know, 3-0 in elimination, or sorry, 3-0, 3-1 now, in eliminations, definitely, you know, I would say earns her a spot to come back at some point. If 39 was too soon, I get it. But hopefully sometime, you know, in the future, if there's another USA or just on the main show, I don't know if 40 is going to be like Legends and then, you know, there's no room for a Cassidy there, but sometime in the future, I want to see her again.
Yeah, I think we will. I think we'll see her.
That's that. And do you have anything else on Josh? I feel like I, you know, said it all. It's just, it's more the same.
We'll see him.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. And I think now we preview the final.
Ooh, the final's coming. I know. Look, we're finally here at the final.
We are finally at the final. Four men left, four women left. I think we are expecting a winner on both sides, a male and female winner, unless I'm
misremembering. Oh, my God. If we did not, that would tank the season for me.
Yeah, we would have certainly heard by now, or we would have remembered if TJ was like, only one winner. So I don't think that.
I'm 90% sure that we've heard TJ say like $250,000 each or whatever it is, or split, you know, however much.
That's what I had in my head. So, what are we thinking?
This is tough. I do think that for an episode, I mean, I've been betting on Chris for quite some time. I think for an episode right before the final, that Chris wins the challenge and secures his spot after being so dominant in these eliminations. Surprised we didn't get any personal notes from him. I mean, we've got them all season long. So I kind of expected that to continue here, and it didn't. So I don't know if I'm reevaluating my things. It's not like we got anything like, you know, from Fessel or someone who I think is a very likely other competitor to win on the men's side. But where are you feeling?
It's hard because I think, well, didn't I come in here last year and last week and say I think I was shifting to Fessy? Just thinking more about it, it's like, well, I know we always say the challenge is unreliable with like winner edits, but like, have we heard anything about Fessy, like personal life this season?
I don't think so.
You gotta have something, right? Like a little something.
The only personal thing I could even think of him talking about was when Cassidy had a personal moment and he was like, I really respect her. Like, I'm gonna look out for her or whatever. But nothing of him personally that I can remember.
I feel like the edits are all over the place. Like, on the women's side, Michaela has had a strong as hell edit. Tori hasn't had that, you know, it's just been like, hey, I'm Tori and I'm here playing the game, whatever. It hasn't been like, you know, powering through for a reason or whatever. While some people do have those stories, I don't know if I can totally lean on that. So I may just have to base, you know, thoughts going into the final on pure how, you know, I expect them to perform given what I've seen. Mm-hmm. Right. Like who's had strong edits? Michaela for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Desi had a little bit, earlier on about doubting herself and whatnot, but that was like,
comes really, and goes.
That
yeah.
was early, yeah. Chanel in recent weeks has,
I think it's too little too late for Chanel.
I agree. But she's had a little something. Tori, nothing personal, but you know, not much personal story, but she's Tori, doesn't really need it.
Exactly.
Same with Bananas, doesn't need it to be the winner. Fessy, I would have expected more. Corey, I would have expected 2 episodes talking about the kids. And Chris certainly has had plenty of personal content about Survivor and his family.
Yeah, ultimately then, I guess, who would you bet on and who are you rooting for?
Okay, 2 different questions.
Exactly, yeah, they are.
Rooting for is a lot easier.
All right, give me that.
On the women's side, I would love to see either Desi or Michaela get the win. Did you say pick one?
Yep.
Michaela.
Okay.
That's not that hard.
Well, you gave 2, so it seemed like it was pretty hard.
I would love to see either one of them. And Chanel, too. Would not mind her as a champion. But, like, I can pick a number one there, Michaela.
Okay.
And then I don't need a Bananas win. I kind of maintain I don't want to live in a world where Fessel's a champion and, you know, can hold that over everybody for the rest of the time he's on the show. Like, well, I'm a champion, you got to respect me. He's been waiting for that. But he's also not.
You don't agree?
What'd you say? Sorry.
Said it's happening one day. You don't agree?
Oh, I don't know. It hasn't happened yet.
I mean, it's true.
But I'm probably like more like happy to see Corey or Fessy get their win finally in the way that like Tori just did over like any other story from the season.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of them I have to pick. My challenge fan, I guess, whatever, like it within me from all these years wants to say I would like to see it be Corey. But like, also, like, things off the show make me not want it to be Corey.
Yep.
Like, that is such a big, like, tough
also things on the show sometimes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think if you made me pick who I'm rooting for, I think I would say Desi and Fessel. I'm a bigger Fessel boy than most people are, to be honest.
I can probably convince myself that that's the best answer on the men's side, Fessel.
Yeah, I mean, again, he's a villain, but he's not like overtly problematic like almost right. Every other person on the challenges. So, you know, he's a little bit of a dummy sometimes. I feel like says, you know, that are obnoxious, but, you know, hasn't crossed the line in the way that many of these others have. So those are my rooting interest. Now, as far as bets, I think I would go with Chris based on edit. And probably Tori.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
I'm gonna stick with, I think I had been saying Tori, and while it like is gonna break my heart to see like the 4 out of 4th person on that side win, I feel like that's just where my gut's telling me to go. I feel like I can go in order of who like likely in my head. I would say Tori, Michaela, Desi, Chanel. It's just where I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think that's where I lean as well. I think for a little while you were on Michaela and then just switched to Tori recently.
Yeah. Michaela is very much giving, like, you know, growth, you know?
Mm.
Like, she went from first out to the final and look at how far she came. But I would love to see it, you know, be first to winner, first out to winner. But I don't know. It's giving a little, like, just fall short.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a Survivor edit, typical.
I know, but my brain's broken.
Even that's changing, but you know, with the challenge it could mean a win.
And the guys, I'll just stick to Fessel because I don't see a super strong, like Chris definitely has the personal content, but I think that's along the same lines of Michaela here, of just like, look at what he accomplished and look at how far he came. And maybe he's giving like second place to me, of like, you know, like they want to make you care about him so much because he's going to matter, in the sense of like, you know, come so close to the end and gets it, you know, doesn't get it. But I don't know. So Fessel, Chris, Bananas, Corey.
I think I would co-sign that.
All right.
Yeah, I think I would co-sign that. Now, I mean, I guess it's a little draft update going into the final. Kirsten does still have Chris on the board on the must-lose side, so she could lose points there by Chris winning. She also has Bananas if he were to win. Mm-hmm. And then Puya has Desi. You have Tori and Corey. And I have all three members of my must-win draft intact,
no with Bessel,
Michaela, and Chanel. So hey, you got to brag in the first half.
Yeah. All right. A lot on the line. Everybody's still in play. So
Ooh. We
will see how things shake up or shape out in the final episode next week, with the final, which is not next week. It's in a couple of days from now. So we'll be back to wrap that up. And that'll be exciting.
It will be. Can't wait.
And we'll be wrapping up coverage of the Challenge USA 2. And also wrapping up coverage of the Challenge on this podcast network.
Ooh, what? Say more.
Not wrapping up coverage of the Challenge overall ever. No. But we have had a fantastic, amazing, incredible, 5, 6, 7 years, who can count, doing this podcast over here with the amazing Dom Harvey and Colin Stone as our podcast feed hosts, and doing everything over here. Started out years ago doing just some drafts with Colin and Haley anytime that we were able to convince them to do it, and then turned into regular coverage over the years. But we're going to branch out a little bit and create a specific challenge feed that is us and our content, and maybe some bonus content, bonus shows and whatnot. Ooh. And some more fun that we're thinking about for starting with the Challenge 39 and going into the future. So that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it makes sense. I think it's made sense for a little while. I feel, you know, the Challenge is a year round commitment, it seems. And so I think it makes sense to go ahead and give it its own feed. Obviously, extremely appreciative of Dom and Colin for hosting us here for, you know, numbers of years, and for everyone who has listened all that time, or just for even a little bit. So very appreciative there. Hope that you will move over with us onto the new feed. Still trying to figure out a name.
Yeah.
So if anybody has any suggestions, we are very open to hearing them on Twitter. You know, we'll listen to suggestions. We've still got to perform. So, you know, a challenge, reality TV, podcast name, let us know. But again, very, very appreciative of everything so far.
100%. And those guys both know how much we appreciate them immensely, and everything that we've been able to do over on this feed. The behind the scenes of it all is I'm currently not working. I'm no longer working at the job that I worked at previously, and I now have free time, and I would like to use that free time to you know, just see if this you know, can do anything else, go any other places, you know, like you said, it's a year round thing. So I'm just kind of put it in another feed, see if it grows, see if we, you know, see whatever happens from it. So just excited for the possibilities. And it should be fun. It should be good. Definitely for sure. The thing about the name, you know, trying to figure out a name, anything challenge related is being considered, is being welcomed. There's a chance that we may not just talk about the challenge there. Certainly not, you know, running into like cover every reality show under the sun. You know, my name is not Rob Cesternino. Neither is yours, I don't think.
You'll have to find someone else for that job.
So you know, still mainly doing the challenge, but may, you know, peek into a couple other things that are currently airing, or just we'll see where things take us. You know, we're gonna figure that all out as we go, but name suggestions certainly welcome. I don't know, tweeting at us or in your DMs, like, which does matter.
All of the above are fine. Okay. You know, send, you know, I'm going to try to obviously keep my eye out for as many of them. If we miss any of them, you know, I'm going to try to see what we can get. I'm sorry that we are also like a little picky and weird. But I don't know. I want something catchy. I want something good. I know that you guys have invested a lot of time in this. So I want to have a name that does it justice.
Yeah, I had an idea right before we kind of got on here after like 16 days of thinking about it that I kind of like, but, you know, not locked in. So still time to figure this out, but we do want to figure it out and get down to getting, I don't know, jumping right into all that. So that's fun. That's exciting. And yeah, hopefully you guys again will join us over there. Of course, continuing to be all in on the Dom and Colin podcast feed, as hopefully we'll get a Survivor check-in sometime soon from those guys. Ooh. Which, you know, usually comes around the merge these days, but we'll see. And whatever else they have going on their Patreon, right now they're rewatching Pearl Island. So certainly people should be checking that out if they're looking for their Dom and Colin Survivor content. I think, I don't know if it's been weekly or, you know, as often as they're able to get together. So there's that. And that's the update.
Mm-hmm. Woo.
All right. So one more episode, at least at the very least here on this feed, with the Challenge USA season 2 finale recap next week. I'm on Twitter at Matt Liguori. Was on this morning's Big Brother live feed update. If you are listening to this anytime that makes sense to go back and listen to on the Monday morning update, October 16th. Otherwise that's it for me. Scally.
Oh boy. Let me think. So anything that we're doing, including I guess the update when we figure out the name, will be on Twitter at Brian_Scally. Also on Twitch at twitch.tv/bscally. I am having the great pleasure to continue covering the Traders Canada with Puya, which we are live after the episodes on Monday nights. So definitely come hang out in the chat. Come talk to us. It's been a ton of fun so far. Also talking about the inaugural season of The Devil's Plan with Chappelle over on the RHAP wrap-ups and Nothing But Netflix feeds. Catching up on that, even if you guys are maybe done with the season. We are not yet quite, but we are doing our best. So that has been a ton of fun. One of my favorite new shows. I'm also going to be guesting over on Post Show Recaps with Grace and Ariel talking about the Taylor Swift Eras Tour movie.
Oh,
yeah. Oh boy.
I'll be seeing that in a couple weeks.
Oh yeah. That's smart. Let it, you know, theaters calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
Probably a good move. So I will, you know, having gone to now both the concert and the movie, I will compare and contrast and talk about everything with them over there. So that should be fun. And like I said, anything else is on Twitter.
Sounds good. So any questions, comments, or anything like that about what we were just saying or about the challenge, of course, always welcome on Twitter. Just tweet at us or DM or anything, whatever. You know how to find us. Leave some reviews on the way out here of on the Dom and Colin feed, because even though we're going to be kind of sliding elsewhere, we've been on this feed for years. We're so grateful to this feed. And, you know, any 5-star ratings and reviews always help to just keep, you know, people knowing that it exists out here, and whatever Dom and Colin are going to keep doing in the future. So do that. And that's it. Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That would be it.
That'd be it. All right. Thank you guys again for checking this one out. We'll be back next week to wrap up the season. Until then, take care, everybody.